Is it possible to get the latest news and faithful Catholic reporting? The Register delivers. Subscribe today by going to EWTN.com and clicking on the link for The Register or calling 800-421-3230.
From the National Catholic Register, this is Register Radio, bringing light and clarity to the news and topics that affect your life.
It's been 7 months since the world's largest Catholic broadcast network acquired America's most complete Catholic newspaper, the National Catholic Register. Today on Register Radio, we'll talk with EWTN's President Michael Warsaw to learn how the acquisition came about and how that partnership is going. Also, we'll talk later today with film critic Stephen Gray Donis about the French film Of Gods and Men, which Stephen calls one of the most spiritually moving films of the past 25 years. High praise indeed from Stephen Gray Donis. Welcome again to Register Radio, a co-production of EWTN and the National Catholic Register. I'm Tom Price, along with Tim Drake, senior staff writer for The Register. Hello, Tim.
Hi, Tom. Great to be with you here on Register Radio. Today, we're going to be talking with Michael Warsaw, who serves as the president and chief executive officer of Eternal Word Television Network. Prior to joining EWTN, Michael was employed by the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception in Washington, D.C. And born in Springfield, Massachusetts, Michael attended the Catholic University of America and did graduate work at CUA in the field of liturgical studies. He resides in Birmingham, Alabama, with his wife and two children. And it's great to have you with us on Register Radio. Michael, thank you for joining us.
Well, thanks, Tim. It's good to be with you and Tom.
So, first of all, I wanted to ask a little bit about the acquisition of the Register. And were you aware prior to the acquisition by EWTN of any of the problems facing the former owners of the National Catholic Register and some of the financial difficulties that the newspaper was having?
Sure. Well, when I first became aware of the possibility that the Register might be closing or might be looking for a partner to step in, it became clear from those very first discussions that the Register was facing some very, very serious financial issues and at a level that really jeopardized its future and called into question whether it would actually survive. So, yes, right from the very first discussions about EWTN stepping in, we understood the situation.
And would that have been about the latter part of last year, November, December, somewhere in that time frame?
It was, actually. The discussions really began through Archbishop Charles Chaput, who, of course, was at that time the Archbishop of Denver, now the Archbishop of Philadelphia. And Archbishop Chaput, of course, had been the apostolic visitator for the Legion of Christ. He had been appointed to that role by the Holy Father, so he was very well aware of the situation with the Legion and many of its apostolates, including the Register. And so, really, through Archbishop Chaput, he began sort of a dialogue with both the Legion and with me about the situation with the Register, and that would have been in October, late October of last year, in the first part of November. And it was really through Archbishop Chaput that EWTN and the Legion of Christ began a conversation about EWTN acquiring the Register.
Rather providential, isn't it, given that the National Catholic Register grew out of the Denver Catholic Register system?
Absolutely. No, I think throughout the process, you certainly saw the providence of God, you know, that Archbishop Chaput, as the Archbishop of Denver at that time, you know, certainly was well aware of the history of the Register and its growth out of Denver. His connection and understanding of the situation with the Legion. Archbishop Chaput has served on EWTN's board of governors for some 15 years, one of the longest serving members of our board. So, you know, clearly God was bringing about this transition through this connection of people. So as we began the conversations with the representatives of the Register, Dan Burke, who now continues to serve as the executive director of the Register, you know, our first meeting was on December the 8th, the Feast of the Immaculate Conception.
Yeah.
And so it was really under Our Lady's patronage and protection that we began the conversations about bringing the Register into the EWTN family. So it certainly was a process that was marked by many, many inspired moments.
Just for those who might be interested, because we wouldn't use the terminology that EWTN actually purchased the Register, we would say that they acquired it. There really no money changed hands. Is that right?
That's right. That's right. It wasn't technically a purchase. It was really an acquisition. The arrangement with the Legion of Christ was that no cash would exchange hands between either of the parties, but rather EWTN would step in, assume the operational responsibility for the Register, pick up many, not all, but many of the employees of the Register, and then assume the subscription liabilities for delivering the future subscriptions to the paper. So that essentially EWTN stepped in and moved forward.
That's right, and that's been going since February 1st. Talk a little bit about how the National Catholic Register as a news organization fits in with the overall goals and mission of EWTN. Is it a good, a natural fit?
Absolutely. I think when the question first came up about, would EWTN be interested in exploring the acquisition of the Register, I responded yes really immediately, because I think within the Catholic context, and certainly in this day and environment that we live in, I think there is a catechetical dimension to news. And, EWTN is first and foremost a teaching network, and everything we do is really oriented toward educating people, Catholics and non-Catholics alike, about the Church, about her teachings, and about our faith. And so I think that Catholic news has a catechetical dimension. It has a teaching dimension. And that certainly is core to EWTN's mission. So from my standpoint, I saw it as a perfect fit. I think when you look also at EWTN's mission statement, the mission statement that Mother Angelica wrote for EWTN back 30 years ago, the core of EWTN's mission is the advancement of truth as defined by the Magisterium of the Roman Catholic Church. And so, particularly when you look at that phrase and you understand that essential part of our mission statement, I think it's pretty clear that the Register and news programming and content of all sorts really fits quite well under the umbrella of EWTN. We live in a day and an age when, secular media outlets are openly hostile to the Church or ignorant about the Church and its teachings and what its message is and what it's saying to the world. And unfortunately, the vast majority of Catholics in this country and globally get their understanding of what the Church is saying on particular contemporary issues from secular media. And that's not good. That's not good at all.
And that's right.
I think at the end of the day, we can look at that and say, well, no wonder we have many of the issues we have in the Church today. So I think it's important for certainly there not to be fewer sources of solid, orthodox, faithful Catholic journalism. I think there needs to be more, and that was certainly one of the goals in stepping in with the Register acquisition, was to not just save the Register from extinction, which is where it was headed, but really to shore it up, to put it on a firm foundation, so that it can grow and that it can be the paper of record, the outlet of record for the Church in America, and that we can have a significant impact in educating Catholics and non-Catholics alike about what the Church is saying on contemporary issues.
Sure. And we who are with the Register are very thankful for that. It was interesting at World Youth Day, both Archbishop Chaput and Pope Benedict XVI talked about the importance of receiving news from Catholic sources. So, saying exactly what you were saying.
I'm glad to hear I'm in good company then with Archbishop Chaput and the Holy Father. And I noted in Archbishop Chaput's talk in particular, he mentioned specifically the National Catholic Register as being a source that young people should turn to for news and information about the Church. So we're grateful to Archbishop Chaput for the plug.
For those who would say, how wise is it to go into newspaper publishing at a time when so many newspapers are suffering declines in readership, although we have to say that, we have seen an increase in circulation since the EWTN acquisition, but how would you respond to folks who would say it's just not a wise move business-wise?
Sure. Well, I heard that from many quarters when we announced the acquisition of the Register several months back. Well, first of all, print newspapers are not going away anytime soon, as much as people might be talking about their demise. The New York Times is not going to cease publishing a print newspaper. The Washington Post is not going to cease printing its daily paper. There may come a day when that may happen, but I don't believe, and I think most serious observers of the news industry don't believe that that's going to happen anytime soon. But at the end of the day, it's not really about, sure. Being a print publication or digital publication. What the focus is, what the core is the content. It's the journalism, it's the writing, it's the information. And that's what EWTN is about. That's what EWTN, throughout its 30 years, has focused on. You know, it's always been about the content, about creating faithful Catholic content that helps people to understand their faith better and to deepen their relationship with our Lord. And so it's all about content. You know, in Bill Clinton years ago, you know, famously said, you know, it's the economy, stupid. You know, I guess, you know, I could write the little note from my desk that says, you know, it's the content, stupid. That's what's important. And that, and whether you deliver that content via print or via digital methods, it's always about the content.
And how can listeners best support, continue supporting the Register and EWTN?
Well, sure. First and foremost, please pray for us. Pray for the success of our efforts. Pray that the work that we do will have an impact on the culture and will have a transformative effect in people's lives. I think that's first and foremost. Secondly, please subscribe. I think buying a subscription to the Register is something that everybody needs to do. And if not for yourself, buy a subscription for your friends, your family, for your children, particularly your college-age children who are going off to school. They need the content that the Register provides. So subscribe. And thirdly, donate. Please support the work of the Register. You know, as we talked about earlier, when EWTN stepped in, we didn't do so with a huge amount of cash. We stepped in and assumed the liabilities. And, the Register is still supported through the donations of individuals who care about its mission and want to support that work. And so I think pray, subscribe, donate. If you can do those things, then I think you help EWTN to continue to put the Register on the path toward growth and a huge and significant impact in the church today.
Well, I really appreciate your
Fantastic.
Your threefold plan there, Michael, and I really like the idea of considering the Register, the paper of record for the church in America. You know, there's nothing more ephemeral than a blog or a website. These things, you know, they're here for today, maybe they're here for tomorrow, but a newspaper is something tangible that you can hand to your son or your daughter or your wife or husband or your parents. So it's really, really very important to have that as a paper of record.
Absolutely. I think I think the church, particularly in this day and age, needs that. It needs that voice. It needs that one recognized source for news and information and a place where people can go to hear the leading voices and opinions about contemporary issues.
EWTN's president and CEO, Michael Warsaw, thanks for joining us today on Register Radio.
My pleasure. Good to be with you.
Thank you. And when we return, Stephen Graydonis on the new film Of Gods and Men and why you just might want to check it out. This is Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Stay with us.
Are you concerned about the way our nation and our world are heading? Are you looking for the truth behind the issues of the day? Do you need support in standing up for life, the family, and our Catholic faith? Then join well-informed Catholics worldwide who depend on the National Catholic Register to address the most compelling questions of our time. Now part of the EWTN family of services, the Register is a trusted source of news and views with an unwavering fidelity to the Pope and the Magisterium. Get the in-depth analysis you need explaining what happened and why it matters for Catholics who engage in the culture to serve Christ. To start your subscription to the National Catholic Register today, go to EWTN.com and click on the link for the Register or call 800-421-3230. That's EWTN.com, then click on the link for the Register on our homepage. or call 800-421-3230.
Let's return to Register Radio on EWTN.
Hi, this is Tom Price along with Tim Drake here on this edition of Register Radio. The French film Of Gods and Men had a limited opening in theaters earlier this year, and it became available on DVD in July. The film offers a thoroughly Catholic portrayal of a group of Trappist monks in Algiers. Based on a true story, when violence breaks out in Algiers, these monks must decide if they should stay and continue ministering to the local people, or should they just leave. Stephen Graydonis is the film critic with the National Catholic Register. He operates the website decentfilms.com, and Stephen has described Of Gods and Men as one of the most spiritually moving films of the past 25 years. And Stephen, coming from you, that is high praise. Welcome to Register Radio.
Hello, Tom. Thanks. Good to be here.
Always a pleasure. We're joined by Tim Drake of The Register as well.
Hey, Tim.
Hey, Stephen. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Yeah, I wanted to ask, usually with film, when we talk about spiritual classics, we often think of perhaps older movies, movies such as A Man for All Seasons, The Passion of Joan of Arc, maybe The Mission, right? But it's safe to say we haven't really had anything that rises to that level for quite some time, have we?
No, that's true. And that's not to say that there haven't been any spiritually significant films in the last 25 years. Mel Gibson's Passion of the Christ comes to mind, Vogel Schlondorf's The Ninth Day. I'm a big fan of Sophie Scholl, The Final Days. What's so remarkable about this story about Of Gods and Men is not only that it's a very recent film, but that it tells a very recent story. A lot of these other stories, the story of Thomas More, of Joan of Arc, even of the Jesuits in South America in The Mission, are stories that are hundreds of years old. This incident took place in the 1990s, that these Trappist monks were in Algeria. They were living in peace with their Muslim neighborhoods, and they became the victims of extremist violence. And the story really captured the attention of the French populace, not just the French Catholics, but all of France was really captivated by the witness and the power of these French monks, and it led to this powerful and award-winning film.
Yeah, and the film, just to let folks know, it's French, so it is subtitled, and it does in many ways kind of fly in the face of what people expect in films, doesn't it? It's not action-packed, it's not fast-moving, it tends to linger on particular scenes longer than viewers might be comfortable with, but there's a purpose for this, a reason for this style of film, isn't there?
Absolutely, and that is part of the challenge of the film. It's like the challenge of monastic life itself. This is really a movie that you have to watch in a different way than the mainstream Hollywood popcorn fare, which conditions us to have shorter and shorter attention spans. I'm reminded of something Chesterton said. He once wrote, "Why should the eye be so lazy? Let us exercise the eye until it learns to see startling facts that run across the landscape as plain as a painted fence. Let us be ocular athletes." And Of Gods and Men is a film that challenges us to be ocular athletes. But it also rewards us for that by portraying the beauty and the power and the attractiveness of lived Christian faith in its liturgical and theological specificity better than any dramatic film I can think of, not just in the last 25 years, but almost throughout the history of cinema. It's also really extraordinary in offering a picture of lived Christianity that's wholly positive. You've got saintly heroes who are not contrasted against a corrupted hierarchy like in so many other films. It focuses only on what is beautiful and winsome in the Christian life, in devotion and community and service.
Now, because the film is in French, we can't play a clip from it. Only our French listeners would be able to to understand it. But we do have a clip, which is, and just to set it up, this is as the monks are entering the chapel, they are singing prior to the liturgy for Christmas. And so I wanted to play this, and then I have a question for you, Stephen.
Oh, mi amour qui se désire. sable et l'eau, Dieu préparait comme un berceau la terre où il viendrait au jour.
Now, what we're hearing there is a clip from the movie of Gods and Men, and that is the monks singing as they begin the Christmas liturgy in the film, Tim.
Yeah, and the film in its style and pace reminded me a lot of Into Great Silence, Stephen, in that it tries to get into the daily routines, the prayers, the songs, the habits of the monks. And there really is no musical soundtrack outside of the monks singing and then one particular scene that we can talk about later. Otherwise, it's very much the natural sounds of the monks at prayer and at work. And so I was curious, how do you compare the two films, Into Great Silence and Of Gods and Men?
Well, both of them have that aspect of being an excursion into monastic life. Into Great Silence, which I love, one of my favorite documentaries of the last 10 or 15 years, it's a little like being thrown into the deep end of the pool, or just like being thrust into some foreign country and left to fend for yourself, where Of Gods and Men is more like being in a guided tour where the restaurants and the sites have been chosen. There is a story, there's a narrative, there are characters. You're not just living with the monks, but you are following a drama, even if it's slower and not as action-packed as dramas in many American films. But there are moments of high drama and extreme power, and that scene where the monks are singing at Christmas leads up to one of the most dramatic and electrifying confrontations in the whole film. I don't want to spoil it for listeners, but also the lyrics, which you get in the subtitles, are really powerful. I happen to have the translation of the words that they're singing there. They're singing, "This is the night, the immense night of origins, and nothing exists except love, which now begins. Mm-hmm. God has prepared the earth like a cradle for his coming from above." And a moment later it speaks of the child of life divine, by taking flesh of our flesh, God our desert did refresh and make a land of boundless spring. So the place of the incarnation in the Christian faith is very vividly affirmed right in this crucial scene.
Yeah, we can't get much more Christian or Catholic than that. In the film, the monks face this enormously difficult decision about should they stay or should they leave. And I think, at least from my perspective in watching the film, that by focusing on the routines of the monks and getting into their life, that understanding that then makes it easier to understand their ultimate decision, which is to remain. Did you find that to be true?
I do, and it does it in different ways. On the one hand, by showing us the quiet and the contemplation of their life of prayer, you get a sense not only of the source of the inner peace that they have and the ability to make such a hard decision, but then also in their interactions with their neighbors, the Muslim villagers who come to them for medical care, for help with bureaucratic procedures and so forth. They're illiterate, so if you need to get a form filled out or a passport or something, you need someone who can write. The villagers come to them for that. And so we see how their neighbors really depend on them. It's not just an abstract question, you know, will we serve God here or will we serve God there? These monks have existing relationships, and although the movie doesn't spell it out, Trappist monks take a vow of stability, which binds them to a particular community, and in this case, they interpreted that to refer to their surrounding community, not just the community of the monks.
I think, for me, one of the most moving scenes is kind of like a Last Supper scene, and it's the only time that we hear music outside of the monks singing. As the monks turn on some classical music during dinner. And I was just wondering if you could talk a little bit about the power of that scene and what, you know, the power that scene held for you.
It is clearly one of the powerhouse scenes in the film. It's so powerful that it throws some people the first time they see it, that they weren't really expecting it and they're not sure what to make of it. The music is Swan Lake, and it's diegetic music, which just means that it's music in the narrative world of the story. The monks themselves are listening to the music. One of them puts on a cassette tape, Brother Luke, played by Michael Lonsdale, so it's not just on the soundtrack. And they've come to a peace and a resignation about the choice that they're going to make. And they're sitting around the tables, and Brother Luke pours some wine, and they're just drinking the wine and listening to the music. And each of them becomes lost in his own thoughts, and you see the emotional changes going across each of their faces as we get closer and closer to them. But there are no words in the scene, and no words are needed. Really is a powerful affirmation of the peace that they found in their decision, and yet of the tremendous emotion, really all of the emotions that they've experienced in the film, their struggles with doubt, their struggles with misgivings, their desire not to die. These are not people who want to be martyred, and yet they are willing to be witnesses for Jesus Christ, even to death.
We are certainly looking forward to this movie of Gods and Men, which is now available on DVD from a number of sources. And Tim, I'm sure that Stephen appreciates the dialogue, the two-way aspect of blogging. I know that, Stephen, you are a regular blogger on ncregister.com, and also you have all this on your own website, which you can certainly mention to us right now.
You can find my review of Gods and Men, as well as my five-part blog series on the spirituality of the film, at decentfilms.com.
Fantastic. And, you know, this is EWTN, of course, is a teaching ministry. And today we all learned a new word, diegetic music. I mean, I've been in a musical family all my life. I have never heard that term before.
Yeah, in film criticism, you need to distinguish diegetic and non-diegetic. So if it's on the soundtrack and the characters can't hear it, that's non-diegetic music.
Very, very impressive. Stephen Greidanis, thank you so much for joining us today. And by the way, that is it for this edition of Register Radio. And Tim, I know that you'll be along with us. We will talk again next week. Thank you for joining us.
You bet. And we want to remind listeners that if they like Register Radio, then they will absolutely love the National Catholic Register.
Absolutely.
So donate and pray.
That's what Michael says. And thanks to all of you for joining us on Register Radio. For Tim Drake and everybody at the Register and here at EWTN, I'm Tom Price. See you next week.
For more information about the National Catholic Register and about Register Radio, go to ncregister.com. Podcasts of Register Radio are posted on ncregister.com and on ewtn.com. Join us next week at this time for Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Register Radio is made possible by donations from generous listeners like you. To bless us with your gift, visit ncregister.com and click on the Donate tab or call 205-568-9756.